Oklahoma has placed two National Star finalists into the final 16 of some of the very best FFA members in the United States. Adrian Blakey of the Stillwater FFA chapter is a National Star finalist in AgriScience, one of the final four in the AgriScience category. Our coverage of the 2018 National FFA Convention is powered by ITC, your energy superhighway, and we have the opportunity just ahead of heading to Indianapolis to talk with Adrian about her involvement in AgriScience and how it's brought her to national prominence in this category. Adrian, you're in the agri-science category, and this is the newest of the categories, the newest star category, but it's been there for several years. An Oklahoman has actually won this one time already in the short time it's been around. You're in the final four nationally. Tell me about your involvement in agri-science and what has got the attention of the judges to this point to make it make your program part of the final four.
Well, it's such an honor to get to be at this stage of the game. I didn't ever anticipate that this would be a piece of my FFA experience, but I am so honored that it has been. I started my agriscience research SAE when I came to Oklahoma State University and got plugged in with undergraduate research. And if you would have told me as a freshman that someday I would get to be one of the final four for Star in Agriscience, I would have told you were crazy, because I didn't think there was any way that what I was doing was something that was that would qualify me for something like this. And I was just chugging along with my research. I've been a part of a couple different interrelated studies, all focusing on answering the question of whether or not there's a connection between modern wheat breeding and the decisions we've made there and the rise in gluten sensitivity that we've seen in the past couple of decades. And it's been so exciting to get to work with different professors in Oklahoma and in Kansas on the different things that I've worked on. And I think that a little bit of the variety of different types of studies that I've been working on is probably what helped set me apart in terms of the STAR application.
Right. This is obviously one of the hottest topics around as far as agriculture is concerned, is this problem of so many people saying they've got gluten sensitivity and or have decided that they have that and are looking for a gluten-free alternative. And the wheat industry's been impacted by it.
Mm-hmm. It definitely has been. The gluten-free movement is a little bit similar for me when I think of what we've seen with the GMO, non-GMO movement. And you can see gluten-free stickers on nearly everything in the grocery store these days, even if gluten is not a part of them. And while it's important to make healthy decisions for yourself and for your family, gluten isn't necessarily unhealthy for the majority of people. For people who have celiac disease, it is something that should be avoided. But oftentimes we're seeing a number of people who have self-diagnosed themselves as gluten sensitive or gluten intolerant. And while that's fine to make those personal decisions, when it becomes a problem in terms of media misinformation, and begins to have these adverse effects for an entire industry, that's when it gets to be kind of concerning. And as someone who is now a part of the wheat industry in this way, I want to make sure that the things that we are turning out are of the highest quality, but also safe for consumption. And while my hypothesis, what I do believe is that it is, we need to double check, and we need to check all of those bases to be sure, because ultimately the purpose of the ag industry and of the wheat industry is to provide for our consumers, and they're not very happy right now.
Right. So let's go under the hood a little bit. Tell me a little bit about the actual research that you've been involved in.
Yeah, so the main piece to the research that I've been a part of is an analysis called compression recovery. And ultimately, what makes gluten so special in terms of bread making as a protein is this characteristic that it has to be viscoelastic. And that means that it can stretch and then pop back into the shape that it was before, but not like too aggressively. That's kind of where that viscosity comes into play. And this compression recovery analysis really determines whether or not or how high quality that gluten is. And if we can determine what's happening there with the gluten, over time, then we'll have a much better idea of, well, maybe there is something that we should be concerned with this particular variety. So with all of the different analyses that I've been working on, they cover six sequential generations of wheat breeding. So it's a little bit historical even. And by looking into these different varieties, ranging from the heirloom variety of turkey, per se, all the way up to newer varieties like Gallagher, Spirit Rider, those types of ones, that way we can have a better idea of if there was any significant change where we may have gotten off course, we can know where in that history of wheat breeding that may have happened.
Right. You were telling me that you've had a chance to be a part of the team that's led by Dr. Brett Carver.
Yeah, I have. It's been awesome getting to work with Dr. Carver. I've also had the opportunity to work with a cereal chemist on OSU's campus, Dr. Patricia Reyes, as well as a member of the research team at the Manhattan, Kansas USDA laboratory that they have up there with Dr. Mike Tilley. And it's been awesome getting to be a part of those different cereal chemistry analyses. But in addition to that, another side of my project has been a study that's way more focused on human health aspect of things. And I was able to partner with the Human Sciences, Nutritional Sciences Department at the College of Human Sciences. Excuse me, that was a little confusing. To do a mice study to look at gut integrity when they are consuming different varieties of wheat. So it's been really awesome getting to work with so many different departments in Oklahoma and Kansas on this study.
Any early results from the things you've done to date?
Well, studies like this definitely do take time, but what we've seen so far is encouraging. And what that basically means is that the gluten isn't changing over time, and if it is at all, it's becoming a higher quality protein, which is something that's exciting. In terms of the mice study with gut integrity, we're at a little bit of a standstill right now, so I don't have any results back from that, but have spent quite a bit of time there and probably will again here in the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Right. You obviously have quite a, you know, had quite a career before you got to Oklahoma State University with FFA. What do you think FFA has set you up as far as both for this research, but for life? What has FFA done for you?
I think FFA was by far the most influential organization that I was a part of as a young person, which I'm still technically a young person, so a high school young person. And when I think about who I was when I came into FFA, I was exceptionally quiet, didn't have very much confidence, and definitely had no idea what it was that I was interested in, let alone passionate about. And I would say one of the biggest things that the FFA did for me was bring out this other side of me that I had the potential to be all along, but didn't know how to be as a young junior high, early in high school age student. But because of my experience in FFA, I now have the confidence to go up to someone of the caliber of Brett Carver and say, "Hi, my name's Adrian. I want to work with you," and get started. And I would not be the person that I am today if it wasn't for my FFA experience. And we talk about the FFA as if it's this big, like faceless organization, and that's so not the case. It was all of the ag teachers that I had along the way, the state staff that I got to work with here in Oklahoma, as well as every single FFA member I met along the way, both while I was a high school member as well as being a state officer. And if it wasn't for those people, then I don't think that my experience would have been so phenomenal. So I'm definitely grateful for the people that have the FFA has brought into my life.
Finally, what is this research you've been doing? If anything, what's it shown you as far as, you know, potential for life after university?
So I didn't grow up around the wheat industry in a hands-on way, and I was just talking to Dr. Carver this last week, actually, and we were talking about my future plans again. And I certainly imagine that grad school is on the horizon. It's something I'm seriously considering. And I told him that I was kind of surprised by how much this concept of wheat breeding had really grown on me in these past couple of years. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if being a part of a plant breeding program in some capacity will be something that I'm a part of. Maybe it's now and maybe it's in 15 years. But it's definitely shifted my appreciation for science as well as my desire to get other young people involved with science. So I also wouldn't be surprised if I ended up in academia in some way, shape, or form, because the opportunities that I've had, a lot have come from Dr. Carver's willingness to take me under his wing and show me the ropes and be patient with me as I ask a million questions. And I would love to get to do that for another young person someday.
National Star finalist in agri-science from Oklahoma, Adrian Blakey of the Stillwater FFA chapter. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.